can I get you to come down here a moment? Yeah, 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 you. Last week, we had a wonderful week at camp, all kinds of really cool events. One of the biggest and most enjoyable was seeing you baptized. And for those of you who didn't get a chance to hear her testimony, she gave this amazing testimony. And we're hoping to get that into the newsletter this month so people can share with that. We want to present you with this baptismal certificate and just celebrate along with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm excited to have Melissa here this morning. Melissa Varner, of course, is serving at Spring of Hope. But Melissa has also walked with us through a number of things here at the church. As we were developing some new ministry and getting refocused and doing some things, Melissa spent almost about a year and a half, right, with us and helping us do that at the church board level. So we invite you to come, share what God put on your heart this morning. I'm excited that you're here. Welcome. Before we begin, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, thank you so much for Melissa and all her many gifts. We thank you that you have put in her your spirit and you use her in a way that is just powerful. And I pray that this morning that you will put your words in her mouth and that you will help us to hear, help us to have ears to hear what you have to say to us. We ask your blessing and pray that you will reveal yourself through Melissa today. In Jesus' name, amen.
It is good to be back at
you have
Fairview
to get real close
Avenue.
To that.
Yep, I'm going to bring it down close. Okay, anytime you can say, hey, I can't hear. But it is so good to be back here. I'm so excited as I just feel something in my spirit that God wants to do here today. I would say, probably for each and every one of you that is sitting here. So open your hearts, listen, embrace, receive whatever it is that he has for you this morning, because I feel that it's something special. There's a move here at Fairview Avenue. There has been for a while, and I think there's more to come for you. I must say, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing my personal devotions, and I'm reading this book of Acts, and these guys are doing some pretty incredible things. And it just connected in my spirit, and I'm thinking, they're doing what Jesus was doing. They're doing exactly what Jesus was doing, and it's working. Things are happening, you know, and lives are changing. And I heard this little whisper in my spirit, this is a message. And so, as John said, at Spring of Hope, as a staff, we come together, we pray together as a staff, we stretch each other, we share scriptures, and we talk about topics, and we've been talking about miracles, and we're pressing into what is the possibilities. And so I'm thinking the message was for Spring of Hope as our staff was coming together, and then I get an email from John. And I asked him, I said, are you doing a sermon series? You know, is there a topic you want me to preach on? Anything like that? And he shared with me your summer series that you're doing. And the Lord says, I want you to take the Holy Spirit. Right in the middle of all of these topics at Spring of Hope, as I looked at that list of topics that you guys are going through this summer, anxiety, John said last week, is what you talked about. It's the number one thing I see coming into our counseling room is anxiety. How do I deal with this? How do I overcome this in the things of life? And so these topics that he's preaching are powerful. It's good to know. At Spring of Hope, we dig. We dig for those roots. We dig for where they come in. We dig for how did it get access to me? And then how can I be free? And of course, what we do is we turn people to Jesus. We turn them to the empowering of the Holy Spirit that can help them walk as they face these things of life. Now, I have to confess to you, I have to be honest with you, I wish I could say they go away. I wish I could say it was that easy. But the enemy doesn't just lay down and say, good job, Melissa, good job, you're free. You can walk in that freedom, hallelujah. No, he doesn't. He's gonna keep coming. If he used anxiety against me for 20, 30 years, he's gonna keep pushing that button. But what God says is, there is a way you can walk in that power. There is a way you can walk in that freedom, even in the midst of. And the picture I get all the time is Jesus sleeping at the bottom of the boat when the storm is raging around him. He's at peace. He's at rest. And I believe part of our inheritance from God is two things. The more that I study, the more that I counsel, the more that God does in my own heart, because I haven't arrived anywhere, is joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's peace, because Jesus says, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. I believe that's our inheritance. I believe God intends us to live in that every day. 24/7, 365, that's my goal. I haven't arrived, but that's my goal. So here's the thing that I want you guys to know. These guys in Acts, these Peter and Paul, it goes into Paul in particular, they're ordinary people. They're no different than you and me. They don't have anything special beyond what we have access to. We have the same access to the same Holy Spirit to do the same things that they are doing. These ordinary men taking the mundane, ordinary things of life and making them extraordinary. And things are happening. So here's the verse that I want you to write down, process. It's 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. It says, but we have this treasure. We have it. It's in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. See, the victory's already been won. These things come against us to try to destroy us, to try to take us out of the race, to try to take us out of the game. But if you go on to verse 10, then it says, we always, always, okay, don't let go of that word always, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. The things that we go through, the biblical term is suffering. We always carry around in our body this death of Jesus. We are going to encounter things in life, disappointments, pain, hurt, abuse, financial struggles. We are going to suffer the things of life. They are going to come against us. We are always going to have that suffering in our bodies that come against us so that, those little words, I love the so's, the with's, the in's, the to's, I pull all of those out of scripture, so that the life of Jesus, his empowering, his resurrection, his freedom, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. See, we don't suffer just for the fun of it. God's not sitting up there and saying, let me see what I can bring into Melissa's life today. How much can she take? Let's pile it on a little bit. No, he does it. The miracles in our lives are so that he can be revealed to boost our faith, to boost our belief, to boost our hope, and to share it with other people. I'm sorry, you don't get to keep it. It's so that we share it. Because what you walk through, God will bring someone who has or is in the midst of what you have walked through. So let me back up a little bit. If you know anything about clay pots, okay, if you go back to this time frame, they were cheap, they were breakable, and they were replaceable. Okay? They served a necessary purpose in the household, though. They were necessary. They had specific functions. Okay, some functions they use for valuables like money, jewelry, important documents they would store in these clay pots. Mostly, however, this really caught my attention. Mostly, however, they were for holding garbage and human waste. And I'm going, wait a second, don't we have a little of both in us? We have all this stuff that is kind of garbage, like anxiety and fear and frustration and disappointment and anger, and we kind of have that in our little clay pots from time to time. But we also have something that is so much more important, so much more valuable, and that's this Holy Spirit. If Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of your life, He lives in you. He lives in you. So let's back up a little bit. How did all of this happen? How do we get to this book of Acts where these guys are doing amazing things? If you go back to the book of John, which is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the end of John, Jesus is finishing his public ministry. He has taught the masses. He has moved from town to town. He is done with that. He has wrapped that up. He is now withdrew. He comes into private with his 12 disciples. These last hours, these last time, he spends with them because there's some things he really wants them to get. He really wants them to understand. So he has these last teachings, these last words for them, and he starts by talking about this counselor, this comforter, this promised Holy Spirit. And he says to them, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay, these guys have been with Jesus for 3 years, and he's taught a lot of stuff. Are you going to remember everything from those 3 years? But he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll do what all I've taught you. And then he goes on to say, I'll ask the Father. I'm going to go to the Father, and he's going to give you another counselor, someone to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So I'm thinking, okay, if you're sitting there, you're saying, okay, so is God going to send us another Jesus, another flesh and blood? Is he going to be born as a baby? And if he is, well, that's another 20, 30 years, and I'm going to be 40, 50, 60. You know, how does this all come together? I can imagine their minds are just like trying to grasp all that Jesus is saying. And he says, the world cannot accept him. Okay, I have to invite this Holy Spirit in to me. I have to give him that invitation saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my master. The world cannot see that because they haven't invited him in. And they can't understand it or they can't know it because they haven't experienced it. Okay. I think sometimes in the church, I think sometimes we look too much like the world. I think sometimes we lay down this Holy Spirit or we set him aside and we take on ourselves to deal with the fear and the anxiety and the depression and the situations of life and the hurts and the disappointments, and we have forgotten or put aside this power and authority that we know that we've invited in, because Jesus says he lives with you. He will be in you. Okay, so here's the confusing part. These guys have spent 3 years casting out demons, and Jesus says he's going to be in you. And I'm going, no, thank you, Jesus. Not sure I want any of that in me. But it was the Holy Spirit power coming in to empower them. It was a concept for them to grab a hold of and to bring in a reality kind of way. But I don't know about you, I think sometimes we have to experience things so that we can bring this reality in. I think sometimes the things we walk through is what makes it a reality. And then we go back to the suffering that we walk through, the things that we experience. And so Jesus doesn't let them there. He keeps going on. He says, if anyone loves me and obeys my teaching, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You know, so I think Jesus kept going and kept going, trying to help these guys understand truth of what was coming, of what they could grab a hold of what they could embrace, of what they could live with, live in, what they could do, how powerful they were, and what an impact they can make in the kingdom. Now, I want to say to Fairview Avenue, not just Fairview Avenue, I want to say any church, any grouping where believers come together, the Holy Spirit is in you. So how powerful can that group be, grabbing a hold of? What difference can they make in the world if they're living from that platform? I love where I am at Spring of Hope because it's the things in our hearts that prevent that. It's that fear that's rooted in me that gets in the way, that says, no, you can't. I shared with someone this morning before I even got out of bed, fear standing there, doubt standing there. Melissa, it's been a while since you preached. Are you sure you can do this? You know, and I'm going, God, I am not getting out of bed till they're gone. I'm not going to walk in that fear and doubt because the Holy Spirit lives in me. He put the message in my spirit. He'll bring me the words. And I just need to trust. And I need to believe. And I need to hope that he will do what he promises he will do. One thing I know about God, he's such a preparatory God. He prepares us. He goes on to say, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. He prepares us for what he's gifted us to do. He sends the prophets. He sends people who speak prophecy over our life of what God's going to do. He uses these things so that when it happens, like these disciples, we go, oh, that's what you were talking about, Jesus. Oh, that's what you meant. And so as we experience it, we can begin to embrace truth. Now, I have to think that Jesus knew these guys weren't quite getting it, because I have to think that Jesus knew they were going to run. In a short couple of hours, they abandoned him. They left him. But he also knew that as things unfolded, as he resurrected, as he revealed himself for the next 40-some days among them before he ascended into heaven, that he knew there would be a time where they go, ah, okay, this is what Jesus meant. And I say that because by their very actions, it shows that. And what I mean by that is, here is Peter, and he looks at this guy in Acts 9. He looks at this guy and he says, take up your mat. He says, get up, take up your mat. I can't say this guy's name. It's A-E-N-E-A-S, if anyone can say that for me. You know, but it's in Acts 9. And he says, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, take care of your mat. And the first thing that struck me is, isn't that what Jesus did at the pool of Bethesda? That he said to this guy, get up, take your mat. So here's Peter. He's just doing what Jesus did. And the very next verses, in verses 36 that come right after that, let me just back up. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. We know her as Dorcas. She's always doing good, but Dorcas is sick. Dorcas died. And when they found out that Peter was there, they sent some men to him and said, come. So Peter goes. What's the first thing he does? He goes upstairs to the upper room where they have placed her body. He puts everybody out of the room. He gets down on his knees. He prays. And then he looks towards the dead woman and he says, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, seeing Peter. She sat up. He took her by the hand, helped her to her feet, and he called the believers, and he presented her to him alive. Isn't that what Jesus did? So they're beginning to grasp the truth of the power that is in them, this Holy Spirit comforter that Jesus promised, and they're just doing exactly what Jesus is doing. And it's working. It's happening. It's like, whoa. Can you picture, this is a challenge maybe, can you picture living your life that if Jesus doesn't show up, you look like a fool? Can you picture laying your hands on someone and praying healing? Can you picture praying a radical prayer and God does what he says he will do? Because he promises the disciples, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do. He empowered them that go ahead, do it. I'm going to do what you ask. Do we? When that financial struggle comes, When that diagnosis comes, when that relationship isn't going the way that you thought that it would go, or maybe worse, do we believe what Jesus has said he will do? Are we living the way the disciples were living, that the mundane becomes supernatural? God is still working. God is still doing. And I will say a little testimony. I did take this message to our staff. We have a counselor who's about to have surgery, has a broken foot, is in pain. We prayed healing. The counselor has no more pain. Still has to have surgery to make the correction, but is walking in no pain. Because Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, what you pray, I'll do. He does the miracles, not so that we live for the miracles, but so that it boosts our faith that he did what we prayed. And I want to say, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of your life, each one of you here has that power living inside of you. That's how powerful you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. See, I believe the early church, we have a little bit of an advantage than what this church in Acts had, because it was new to them. We have 2,000 years plus of testimonies, of witnesses, of healings, of powerful moves of the Holy Spirit. We have examples. We have evidence. And I just, if I do anything today, I want to encourage you, tap into, because Jesus spoke to Peter and called him the rock. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus says, you're the rock. You're the rock I'm going to build this church on. Jesus didn't speak to how he was living. Jesus was speaking to who he was. That's how I want to speak today, if you hear anything today, who you are, the power that lives in you, that you can make an impact in the world. You can make a difference here in Waynesboro. I pray for you guys every time I come into Waynesboro, because here's where I work, is Waynesboro. Since I've done your church health team, I pray for Waynesboro when I come into town. I pray for Fairview Avenue. I pray for you guys that God will use you to impact this community, because I don't believe God's done with you. I don't believe that. I believe there is something he wants to do very powerful with you guys, and to tap into that Holy Spirit power and anointing. See, here's what I love most about the Holy Spirit. I don't have to have the answers. I don't have to see the vision. I don't have to lay out the plan. I don't have to think of all the details. I just follow what he tells me to do, where he tells me to pray, who he tells me to lay hands on, who he tells me to anoint, what word he tells me to speak. To me, that's freeing, because I've made too many mistakes trying to figure it out on my own. Too many. But with the Holy Spirit's leading, it's exactly what God wants it to be, when he wants it to be, how he wants it to be. Because it's his work. It's for his kingdom. It's for his glory, not Melissa. It's for him, so that he is seen. So how powerful are you? Is God in your everyday? Is God in your grocery store visit? Is God in your driving? Is God in your household? Is he evident? Let me ask it this way. Are you living life to the supernatural fullness of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, and self-control? Are you living supernatural amounts of those in your life? Or if we back up to those verses in front, am I living with anger and frustration and impatience and anxiety and depression and what's going to happen and how am I going to get through this and what's next and how much more and on and on and on? We all have that to face. Please don't hear me make minimizing of it, because we do. We have sadness to face. We have grief to face. We have frustration to face. We have all of that to face. But if I have the supernatural abundance of those fruits of the Spirit in me, I walk through it different. I do walk through it with peace. I do walk through with love when someone says something that wasn't so nice. Is it easy? Not on my own. I try to do that all the time. It doesn't work. But when I stop, when I pause, and I say, okay, God, just like this morning, okay, God, I am not getting out of this bed till that stuff is gone. When I pause, when I'm intentional, when I tap into, plug into is how I see it, plug into this Holy Spirit, that's then when that peace comes. Still don't know the answer. Still haven't settled the situation. But I have a peace as I walk through it. So here in saying how powerful you are, you guys have heard this, I know that, I just want to say it again. What you come in agreement with is everything. Here's what I tell my clients, here's what I tell my students. This is something God spoke to me a couple of months ago. He told Adam, have dominion, right? Am I right in the scripture? He told Adam, have dominion. So whatever I come in agreement with is the rule I made, right? If I have dominion, I'm in charge, I make the rules, right? So if I come in agreement with anxiety, that was my rule, right? That's what I came in agreement with. That was the dominion I decided is I'm going to live in this anxiety. God's not going to wrestle that out of my hands because he gave me the dominion in the first place, right? However, if I say, God, I don't want to live with this anxiety anymore, that's the rule I'm changing. I want to live at peace. I'm going to trust you. Oh my goodness, he's there. He'll meet me right there. He's waiting for me to change that rule. That's how powerful you are. You have the dominion to decide. Am I going to be angry? Or am I going to live at peace and let God help me through this? Am I going to be disappointed? Or am I going to hold on to the joy of the Lord is my strength and he's going to work it out for good somehow? I don't know how, but he's going to. That's the power that you have. Each and every one of you, again, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Master of your life, you have that power. You have that dominion. You have that plug into the Holy Spirit, help me. I used this a lot 2 years ago. I did an online 6-month course with Francis Frangipane, and I've never forgotten this. It tells us in Scripture, agree with your adversary, right? So when fear comes, and I feel afraid, if I agree, yeah, I'm afraid right now. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how it's going to be solved. It looks like everything is against me, and I am afraid. So I agree with my adversary, right? That's what this accuser of the brethren is saying. Fear, right? And then I turn around and say, Jesus, I'm afraid because I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I get through this. Will you help me? Francis Frangipane said in this study, now you've made the enemy mad twice. Number one, you agreed with him. He didn't want you to do that. He wanted you to live in fear. And number two, you turned to God. He didn't want you to do that either. That's how you fight these battles. Because the enemy's not creative. He will keep bringing anxiety if it's worked for 20 years. He's going to keep bringing it. If depression has worked for 20 years, he's going to keep bringing it, right? If fear has worked against you all your life, he's going to keep bringing it. If you feel worthless, don't have value, don't feel powerful, he's going to keep telling you that, right? So we agree with him. Yes, that is how I feel right now. That's the truth. And then say, God, who do you say I am? How do you see me? That's where I want to go. That's how we fight those battles that every one of us are going to have. There's going to be something in our lives that we have to deal with on a regular basis. Ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. Because Jesus says so. Jesus says that's who you are. So how do you connect to this Holy Spirit? I feel I would be amiss to say, here's what you need, here's the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you very much. Have fun. I don't want to do that. How do you connect to this Holy Spirit? You know, we are three parts. We are body, physical body. We are our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our dominion. That's our power. That's the Melissa part, mind, will, and emotions. And we are spirit. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but I don't miss too many meals a day. I feed my body all the time. You know, I love food, especially sweets. Give me sweets. So I have to say no. I feed my mind because I read scripture. I take classes. I read books. I go to conferences. I go to seminars. Knowledge is good. I feed my mind. But if I don't feed my spirit, it's going to be weak. Think about your body. If you haven't eaten for 3 days, you're going to be weak. So if I don't feed my spirit, it's going to be weak. Might even fall asleep. So then how do I connect to this Holy Spirit if my spirit is sleeping? Right? So we want to nurture our spirits. I love the worship this morning when we prayed. I said, worship is the message before the message. Spot on. God is so good. Worship, prayer, even go out in nature, God's creation. If you're creative and love to do crafts, you're feeding your spirit because that's how God's gifted you. How is God gifted to feed your spirit, to connect with him so that your spirit is alive, connecting with his spirit that's alive, and then power comes out, anointing rises up. So I want to make sure my spirit is awake. It tells us in Isaiah 52, awake, awake. I believe he's talking to our spirits. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on the garments of splendor because that's who you are. Shake off the dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned. Free yourself from the chains around your neck. Because sometimes our spirits become captive too. That a trauma hits, something too much beyond, and I'm like, okay, God, I got this. I'll get through this somehow. I'll figure it out somehow. And I put my spirit like, I got this. So I put it away safe somewhere so that I got this, right? So sometimes I have to free my spirit so it can connect to the Holy Spirit. Wake it up, set it free, that you can live this life that is just so powerful, so full of joy. Surrounded in peace, no matter what is going on in your life at the moment. I believe we are in a time that God is on the move. He's raising up his church. He's raising up his people because there are so many people hurting. There are so many people dealing with so many things they don't know how to walk through or how to get out of. Or how to be free. And I believe we, the church, let me say it different. You, let me say you, specifically, individually, each one of you have a part. And until you bring your part is missing. That's how special you are. Until you bring your part is missing. No one else can do that. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's already written for you. I can't do yours. You can't do mine. They're for you. There are people you will come in contact with that I never will. And so each of us has that part to connect with. But we get the choice. We get the choice to connect. We get the choice. And I don't know about you guys, but relationships take work, don't they? They take work. Yeah. And sometimes it can feel like I don't have time or I got too much going on. I just want to encourage you that start slow. Don't set yourself up to fail. Find a small devotion that's just 5 minutes and work your way up. I encourage people, if you're not doing devotion, start slow. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you, make you hungry. But take a step. Because God has done his part, if I can say it that boldly. He's done his part, but he's inviting, he's drawing. And I tell all my clients and my students, count it all joy when troubles come. Because they will expose what's in my heart. They will show where God wants to do the healing. They will show where God wants to do the transformation because of what comes out of me. Anger, frustration, fear, anxiety, whatever. The trials expose. And if I focus that way when they come, then I have a deeper freedom in my heart that I can connect with the Holy Spirit on a deeper level. God is amazing and he is pursuing you, each and every one of you. Wherever you are in relationship with him, there is more. He says this, let's see if I can find it in my notes. He says this to Paul. If you know Paul's story, oh my goodness, okay? Beaten, shipwrecked, threatened, they plot to kill him, you know? So he's on his way to Rome, and God says this to him. But get up, stand on your feet. It's for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you. There was more. There's more for you. God's not done. There's more. I like this. Get up. Stand on your feet. Pay attention. Listen. I got more for you. I hope that's exciting to you. It's exciting to me. Because can we get enough of God? I don't know. Jesus raised from the dead, so till I get there, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep pursuing till it happens, because Jesus says, greater things you will do than I did. Right? He raised people from the dead. What is the possibility that he can do with you and through you? Supernatural. Beyond what you could ask or imagine. Pressed down, shaken, and overflowing. That's who you are. That's who you are. Embrace it. Sometimes that's hard to embrace, but that is the truth because that's what Jesus says. Jesus says that's who you are. Okay, so for this morning, to wrap up, I want to, and maybe if you guys have a prayer team, or certainly come forward and pray. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never invited him in, if there is anyone here who has never done that, I want to give you that opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to say, I want this Holy Spirit to come in. I want to live this life. I want to connect to this God in a very real, powerful way. So I want to give you that opportunity. The other thing that I want to do is, maybe you have already invited Jesus in. Maybe there's some things in the way that are preventing you from connecting to this Holy Spirit, and you want to lay them down. You want to lay them down here at the altar. You do not want to take them home with you because you want to connect. You want to plug in, and you want to say, I'm done with anxiety. I'm done with fear. I'm done with impossibilities. I'm done with this diagnosis. I'm done with.
And you just say, I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to trust you, God, that whatever you're doing, I'm going to plug in and hold on. And let God do what he wants to do. So I don't know if we have a last song. If not, we do. Okay, we'll go ahead, and in this last song, let me pray before we step in there. And as we do this last song, I'll be available, and John, you know, your pastor will be here as well, whoever you're, you know, come forward. Or even if you just want to, you and God, deal with something. Come to the altar, lay it down. Don't take it with you. Walk in this freedom that God says is yours to walk in. Okay, so let me pray for us, God. I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have swung open the doors of heaven, that you have made available to us this comforter, this teacher, this helper, that we can walk in a power, we can walk in an authority that is not of our own, but is yet beyond us of what we can do for you, for your kingdom, for your glory. And so, Lord, today, the hearts that are pounding maybe in this room, speaking to our hearts, God. We open the altar and meet us there, that we can bring and lay down whatever we want to lay down that we do not want to deal with anymore, so that we can connect with you on a deeper level. And so, God, we ask that you just do whatever it is you want to do in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.